What is your current state and what's your desired state? And what is one small thing that you could do, ideally through sensory activation, to move you closer to that desired state?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. We have an awesome guest to share with you today. Her name is Dr. Danielle McGew. She's a professor, speaker, and transformation strategist known for her warm, grounded approach to change. Through her signature RISE ritual method and through her well-known Plan Goal Plan podcast, she helps high performers and teams reconnect with their core identities, navigate transitions, and create intentional plans that lead to sustained growth. A self-proclaimed ritual nerd, I love that, Danielle believes planning is more than productivity. It's a pathway to self-revelation. Drawing from research, embodied practice, and years of experience in leadership development, she offers a catalytic approach to goal setting that's as insightful as it is inviting. Danielle, we've got a lot to talk about. I am excited you're here. Welcome to the Daily Helping. It is great to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Richard.
Absolutely. So professor, podcaster, you got a lot going on, but I want to jump into the Danielle McGew time machine. Talk to us a little bit about what put you on the path you're on today. Let's start there.
So when I was probably 20, that's when I decided I wanted to be a professor. But I was not the smart kid growing up. I was definitely the weird kid. I even had a little weird dance that whenever an adult would describe me as unique, I would do. And so when I decided I wanted to be a professor and, you know, learn that you had to get a PhD and do all of these other things in order to do it, the story that I told myself was that I was going to have to work twice as hard as everyone else in order to do it. And so I developed all of the habits. If there was work habits, life habits, study habits, you got a habit, I'm going to stack it. And it worked. You know, I ended up getting my PhD. I got the dream job. I earned tenure. But when I got there, I felt incredibly flat, empty. I had felt kind of dissociated from myself. And I realized that some of the same habits that I had created to help me become successful were actually disconnecting me from myself. And, you know, so I started experimenting, I started playing. I realized that a lot of the research that I've been doing around ritual and identity were actually tools that might serve me better than the habits that I had created.
So I love this, and it's a great starting point for a conversation. I'm curious, as you look back with the lens of hindsight, you set up all these goals. You said at the age of 20, I'm going to be a professor. I know how long that journey is to get the doctorate and do all of the check boxes you have to do to accomplish such a goal. You said you fell flat. You felt disconnected from yourself. Why do you think that was?
It's really interesting because I knew why I was doing all the things that I wanted to do. Like, I love teaching. I love serving students. I like helping them, you know, take a step towards learning the skills and developing the knowledge and all the things that they need to so that they can live out their dreams. So the why was really there. But I do think that you get really bogged down in checking off those boxes. Oh, I need to publish this article so that I can earn tenure. I need to write this research paper. I need to go to this conference. And I do think that in the process, I lost some of the things that make me uniquely me. that I was going through the motions. Like I said, I had a lot of really good habits in place, and I'm actually really grateful for good habits. But I think that sometimes the meaning that was connected to those habits got lost. So, I think about habits as these practices that we put in place that are actually designed to eventually become unconscious. And so, if you are looking for meaning in your life, if you're looking for being intentional, habits are actually designed to eventually become unconscious. And so I think I needed to get really thoughtful about where do I actually want to have habits in my life? And where do I want to have rituals? Where do I want to very intentionally create presence and remain conscious and thoughtful and mindful through these things?
Two things were running through my mind before you started answering that question, because for you, the PhD, the I want to be a professor goal, that was very self-driven. I will never forget when I was in undergrad and I went to go see my academic counselor because I changed my major to psychology. And there was this kid who's sitting next to me waiting to be seen, and he looked like somebody died. And I said, "Hey man, what's up?" I'm talking to him, and he was changing his major to a pre-med curriculum because his dad told him he was going to be a doctor. So for many people, if the goals are externally placed on us, then of course we often lack this connectedness to them. They may not be in alignment with our values, who we are, what we really get excited about. But for you, they were. But it sounds like along the way of it, in your own words, going through these motions, right? Because you have to. I mean, goals, you sound like a person, I imagine this is part of your RISE methodology. There's an operational thing with goals, right? We have to operationalize and everything's done sequentially and we break it down into small things, right? So obviously you did all of that, or I suspect you did, but then you lost that special feeling, right? Like you lost that sense of emotional connection to the steps and the goals. So I do want to get into how you created your methodology and talk about it, but for somebody listening to this, because most people who are listening to the show are trying to accomplish something or they wouldn't be listening to it, right? So for a goal in particular that takes a really long time to achieve, how do you find it's best to emotionally stay grounded in that goal and keep that connectedness there?
I do think that the best thing that I've learned is to have practices that you do regularly, like journaling, or for me, even planning. Time management became more of a practice about me collecting data on myself, learning about myself, than actually about managing my time or trying to control my time. And I think that for me, even though my goal was very self-directed, I also felt like, oh, I'm going to do this thing that nobody believes that I can do. And somewhere along the way, it became about proving to people that I could do it instead of, I think that I started because I wanted to be able to serve people and I saw that my unique, maybe quirky brain had something to offer in the world of higher ed that was unique. And I think along the way, though, I so wanted to prove myself that I started to lose that connect uniqueness to kind of blend in, fit in, and prove myself.
That makes sense. And so I want to kind of jump back into the journey now, because now you're a tenured professor, you're doing your thing. And I'm so curious to learn about your RISE ritual method. When did that evolve and how did that evolve?
It's so funny because so much of it happened a little bit by accident. So I was just in a muck spot. I had just earned tenure. I'd had my first kiddo. My second was on the way. I was, just struggling with adulting in a lot of ways. I'd had mastitis 9 times in 9 months. Our water main broke in our house and our basement all flooded. We didn't have a floor in our only bathroom. That's a long story. And I was just kind of unraveled, undone. And I was listening to my students give a presentation, and one of my students talked about decorative planning. And she dealt with anxiety, and She was not doing any sort of time management. She was just kind of flying by the seat of her pants, and she was missing a lot of things and is creating a lot of problems in her life. And her therapist had said, "You need to do this." And she's like, "But it makes me more anxious." And she said, "Well, you really like to doodle. Why don't you start doodling and making your planner really beautiful and turn it into a craft project?" And I was like, I thought that was so interesting. And my dad was my art teacher growing up, but I'm really terrible at art. And I was like, but I could put stickers in a planner and I could start stickering things. And so at first, I started to create this ritual where when I would wake up in the morning before everybody else had gotten up, I would just put stickers in my planner and it would slow me down and it would help me think about how do I want to spend my day. And as I put the stickers on, I would think, well, what did bring me energy last week? What was lighting me up? And I just slowly was doing this process and learning about myself as I did it. And it's funny because I teach courses like performing identity, I teach things like ritual, and I hadn't necessarily, though, connected some of the things that I was doing in my personal life to the things that I've been studying. And it took me a while of having these practices in place and then getting excited and talking to other people about it and doing these practices with other people before I realized, oh, all of these things are kind of connected.
I'm sitting here hearing this and I'm thinking, we talked a bit about habits and now we're talking about ritual. Tell us from the universe of Dr. McGew how you differentiate between those two.
Yeah, so I kind of would break it down and say that a habit is a practice that we do that is designed over time to eventually become automatic unconscious. We want to do something without friction and without thinking. So, like brushing my teeth, I know that I did it this morning, but I don't really remember it that well. And that's because I'll just do it. But when I think about our habits, then we kind of put them together in a sequence, they become a routine. But even sometimes those routines we do automatically, we do kind of unconsciously, at least after we've created them, and we design them to eventually become unconscious. I think that ritual is a sequence of behaviors that are designed to actually transition us from one state to another. And they're designed to evoke presence, to be done consciously. In fact, when a ritual loses its meaning, we call it an empty ritual. And I would say that's basically a ritual has been downgraded to a routine. And so it's not that I think that habits are bad. Habits are good. I just think that we need to discern between where in our lives we want to have habits and where we want to have rituals. So, for example, when it comes to doing the dishes, I love Thich Nhat Hanh has this quotation where he talks about mindfulness and doing the dishes and feeling the water on your hands and the smell of the soap and being really just mindful and present for all of it. And I'm like, that's beautiful. Also, I don't really care when it comes to doing my dishes. I'm okay if I am just like spacing out or listening to a wonderful podcast like this one and getting the dishes done. And I don't really care how mindful I am for that process. But there are aspects of my day, of my life, that I really want to invite presence. I want to be incredibly intentional for. And I also want to have some things that help me move into the state that I want to be in. And that's where I need rituals.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. That was about the best explanation of that I could have imagined. So thank you for that. I think in a nutshell, rituals add this level of presence and emotional connectedness that habits just don't and won't ever, right? Like, you know, we think about religious rituals. Those are spiritually important to people, right? At like a soul level, at a value level. Whereas brushing your teeth obviously isn't. And respectfully, with respect to the just, I'm with you. I just want to put on music and I don't care. But nonetheless, so this is great stuff, Dr. Danielle. So what I also am enjoying hearing, you're a PhD, you're a scientist. So, you know, you were basically your own guinea pig as you were developing this methodology. So let's flash forward a bit. Now the methodology is obviously fleshed out. You teach to people. Break us through the RISE ritual methodology.
So it is four parts. Each letter represents something. So R stands for reflect. I stands for intentionally plan. S stands for sensory activation. And E stands for embody the story. So I help people first reflect, what is the current state that you're in? And what's the desired state that you would like to be in? And that's really important that you know that moving into designing your ritual. Then we're going to intentionally plan. We're going to decide, how long is our ritual going to be? Where are we going to do it? How are we going to open it? How are we going to close it? So that we have a clear opening and closing to our ritual. So, for example, you used religion is a place that we oftentimes think about ritual. I like to joke that religion and sports really gets ritual. And, you know, we know when somebody is baptized, for example, or gets married, we know when the ceremony is over. And so it's really important in our own personal rituals that you know, when is it going to begin? When does it end? And that you've kind of marked that beginning and that ending. And then from there, we're going to add some sensory activation, because our senses, one, ask us to embody the experience. They help us move into the state that we want to be in. And they actually invite that presence. So for example, if you are creating a morning ritual, you don't want it to be a morning routine. This is a morning ritual. It's going to be, like you said, a ritual really is a routine with soul, right? And what you might decide is, well, what is your current state and what's your desired state? So when I wake up in the morning, I actually have a busy brain. I tend to be a little bit anxious in the morning. I'm thinking about all the things that I need to do. I'm like excited to go do it. And I kind of need to calm myself. So I need a ritual that is calming, that is focusing. Whereas like my husband, he wakes up and he's really groggy and he needs something that's going to make him alert and awake and focused in a different way. So I love, as part of my morning ritual, to have a cozy blanket that's all fluffy and soft that I can wrap myself in. That's part of my sensory activation to help calm me as part of my morning ritual. My husband should never wrap himself in a cozy blanket in the morning or he will go back to sleep. So you need to make sure that you're activating your senses in a way that actually moves you to that desired state that you name in the reflecting process. And then the final part is really embodying the story. How do you make sure that you fully transitioned, and after you've completed your ritual, you still want to be embodying the state as you move through your day? So morning ritual is a really common one. An end of the workday ritual is something that a lot of women come to me and they're like, hey, I'm having a hard time being present with my family. I'm still thinking about all of these things. I want to be a great mom, but, you know, I'm running through my to-do list at work while I'm making my kids dinner, you know? And so we have a workday shutdown ritual that helps them turn off that busy brain and be present for their family. Well, you want, even after you're done with the ritual, you want to now live that desired state. And so how can you embody that story? And we kind of do some reflection around what's that going to look like afterwards.
So let's dive deeper into the E, because, you know, this makes a lot of intuitive sense to me. We're going to want to embody that story. We're going to want to live that state. So the end of work shutdown, I absolutely love. And I myself have done a lot of things so that work stays exactly where it should and doesn't creep up when I'm trying to do things after hours. So talk to us about what that really looks like in detail.
So a lot of it when I'm working with my clients is helping them think about, well, what are all of the different challenges that might arise after you've done with your ritual that might keep you from fully embodying that state? And are there any things that you can do to help you with that? One of my clients, she came to me and she said, you know, I'm busy Betty and I want to be relaxed Rita. And she was a school teacher and we were creating her into the workday ritual. And at first she wanted to do it in her classroom, but she realized that she kept getting interrupted by her colleagues. And then so she wanted to move it to doing it at home. But when she do it at home, her kids were like, I want a snack. Can I play soccer? Can I play with the neighbors? Right. And so what we did is actually created her a little ritual box that she could keep in her car. And she would do her ritual in her car, in her driveway before she went in. And then we would kind of talk through, all right, what are the sorts of things that might actually get in your way of embodying being present for your family? Oh, if I check my email again. Oh, if I don't finish all my grading before the workday's over and I bring it home with me, right? And so we would also talk about, well, what does relaxed Rita look like when she makes dinner? What does relaxed Rita look like when she's taking her kids to all of these activities? And a lot of it was just getting really specific about what that desired state looks like, feels like, is done in practice.
So somebody who's listening to us right now, getting excited, hey, I want to do this. I'm going to take something and turn it into a ritual, right? What are some of the pitfalls they need to think about that they should be trying to avoid as they're setting up their own RISE methodology?
Getting clear about where it is that you want a ritual and where you want to have it is really, really important. And then once you get into making your ritual, I would say name what your ideal is as you're making it. So like when you're doing that intentional planning, if you want to have a 60-minute, you know, really drawn out, cozy morning ritual, you can plan for that. But I would also recommend having a 15-minute and maybe even a 1-minute version of the ritual so that if you have a day where you've overslept or your kids were up all night and you were up with them and you just need some extra Z's, that how can I move myself into that desired state and still sort of have the placeholder there for the ritual so that I might have some different versions of it? So I love the idea of just giving yourself permission to have multiple versions of the same ritual and play and experiment with it. You might try something and you're like, why am I not being consistent with this? Well, maybe you didn't make it cozy enough. Maybe it's not delightful enough. Maybe there's, you know, like try adding different sensory elements to it and see if some of them make it more likely to stick than others. And so I think that if you can just move through the process with a spirit of curiosity and a lightness to it, that it can make it a fun adventure to discover the ritual that you want.
15% more cozy than before. I love this. And what a really cool way of framing that, because you know, for so many people, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Miracle Morning. I've had Hal Elrod on this show several times. In one of my recent episodes, me and Andy Storch, the guest, were talking about how that book changed our lives. But that book really talks about morning routine. Atomic Habits, it really focuses on habits. But neither of those really talks about the ritual aspect, the emotional valence that you're describing, Danielle. And you're talking about sensory input. And we know through science that when you evoke emotion, when you start adding these sensory things, it really stimulates different parts of the brain and it gets you more engaged than you probably would be if you were just going through the motions. I'm going to exercise for 15 minutes. I'm going to eat a protein bar for 7. You know, it's like you're talking about something so different, right? And I really love the way this is framed because I think anybody can do it, and it really forces us to get very granular about how do we really want to be. It's more than how do we want to feel. It's how do we really want to be? How do we want to show up in our day? How do we want to be successful? So I absolutely loved every bit of this, and I think everybody should be doing this because it's fantastic. Before we go, I'd love to give you an opportunity just to talk about your podcast a little bit. I know off air you told me you've been doing this for a few years now. So tell us about the Plan Goal Plan podcast.
Yeah, so I love having the opportunity to meet all sorts of people and talk with them about ways that we can plan mindfully and set goals holistically so that we can move through the world in the way that we want to live full, rich, amazing lives. And so that's really what I'm up to. I'm really into, how can we have a posture towards planning and goal setting that isn't just about optimizing our time, although that I like that, it's not just about goals that help us be quote unquote successful, but it's about, how can we live full, rich, amazing lives, even when life is banana pants.
Banana pants. That's one that I think in the last 8 years of doing this, nobody has ever used on air. So kudos to you for grabbing that just for yourself. Danielle, I have loved our conversation today. It's flown by. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests just this one question. And that is, what is your biggest helping? That one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
What is your current state and what's your desired state? And what is one small thing that you could do, ideally through sensory activation, to move you closer to that desired state?
I love it. Danielle, tell us where people can learn more about you online.
Go ahead and find me at plangoalplan.com. Also, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I like to practice my storytelling there, so you can find me there as well.
Perfect. And for those of you at the gym, we got you covered. Everything Danielle McGee will be featured in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Danielle, I have loved our time together. It's been a blast. So informative. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Richard. It was a joy.
Absolutely. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day to listen to this, thank you as well. If you learned something today, if you liked it, if you're excited to start your own new ritual, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your social media feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.